again, bid you welcome as we always do. We say it sincerely, but we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's good to get together. So appreciate your desire very, very much, especially the desire to assemble for worship as a congregation. Again, there is an outline in the bulletin this morning. You're very welcome to follow along. It goes through the text that was read to us this morning from 2 Timothy chapters 3 and 4. So you're always welcome to keep your Bibles open to that text. It's not very seldom will I depart from those or making a reference to those verses. It's interesting that Brother Frederick read from the New International Version. There were some phrases in there that I thought, oh, I wish I had said it that way. I was using the New King James Version. And so I was kind of interested that he was reading, following along in my translation. So I appreciated that. I may incorporate a little bit of those phrases in my notes when I finish. So I'm going to read it again, just for not because it needs to be read again, but I think the text is powerful enough that we need to hear it, even though you just heard it. I always heard someone say, when you're speaking, you'll tell them what you're going to say, then say it and tell them what you said. So that's kind of what we're going to do with this text. So here it is again, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning of verse 10. Paul said, you've carefully followed my doctrine. Doctrine? Yes. My manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions. Ooh, Timothy, he followed Paul in all of these things. He said, these things happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. And what persecutions I endured. And out of all of them, the Lord delivered me.
That's right.
And yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse 13. Evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse. You wonder, why is the exhortation to Timothy preach the word? Listen to the descriptions. Evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So verse 14, but you, Timothy, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. Knowing. I always like it when the text says knowing. You need something you need to know. Knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So there's a couple words here that seem to go together. Doctrine. Holy Scriptures. All Scripture. Salvation. In verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable. And he mentions four things in the text. Profitable for doctrine. There's our word again. For reproof. For correction. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, truly furnished unto every good work. I charge you in chapter 4, verse 1. So here's the obligation. Having said all that, Timothy, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince. Rebuke. You ever wonder what the preacher's supposed to do when he stands and delivers? Preach the word. Convince. Rebuke. Exhort. And that's to be done with all long-suffering and patience or teaching. Well, the time will come. Why would we want to do that? Why do we include preaching in our assembly? Because the time will come that when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers. They'll turn their ears away from the truth. They'll be turned aside to fables. Here's the contrast. But you, Timothy, but you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill thy ministry. That was the text. I've broken down into four areas. You may break it down into more in your study. But these four areas. Number one, we're going to look at the context. Those verses that precede that phrase or that title of our lesson, preach the word. Then we'll just note rather briefly the concern. Why preach the word? Why? And then you have that command, preach the word. And then that contrast that we noted at the end. But you, Timothy, the contrast. Let's take a look at each one of these. First of all, the context. This sets the stage, provides the background, or leads to what is about to follow. And Paul has reminded Timothy, this young evangelist, this preacher, and several things preceding or leading up to this preach the word phrase. He said, Timothy, you followed my doctrine.
Yes.
Continue doing that. The word continue is in the text. Continue. In verse 15, he noted, from a childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures. Don't leave that. Don't forsake that. And then he noted in conclusion in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable, valuable. So therefore, based upon these things, in chapter 4, verse 1, I charge you, in verse 2, to preach the word. Preach the word. Just information, just earlier I put this in your notes. No, I didn't put this in your notes. Earlier, Paul reminded Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning of verse 12. I didn't put that one in your notes. But Paul said to Timothy, let no one despise your youth. Be an example to the believers in word and in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So many people in our generation do not want to hear doctrine. They want to hear God, more or less God, a preacher, you tell us how to get along with our neighbor. Tell us about issues in society. Tell us how we can better fellow man. You ever notice how many times the word doctrine is used when Paul writes to Timothy? Then he said in verse 16 of still 1 Timothy chapter 4, take heed to yourself and to the, guess what the word is? Doctrine. Timothy, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue. That's the same word in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Continue in them, for in doing this, save salvation, doctrine, and scriptures. And continuing in them and salvation, you see all these words coupled together? You will save both yourself and those who hear you. Doctrine, preaching the word is a salvation matter. That's the context. People say, why do we preach the word? So this number two in your notes is the concern. But this is the why, preach the word. Chapter 4, verse 1. God is the Lord Jesus Christ, he introduces, who will judge. Because there's a judgment coming. There's a judgment. Who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing. So in the text, Paul admonishes Timothy, I want you to preach with a view toward the second coming of Jesus and a day of judgment. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Paul said it in his writing to the Corinthians, said we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he's done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, preach the word, because there's a coming judgment. Number three in your notes is the command itself, and that's the title of our lesson this morning. Preach the word. You ever know that there's five verbs, or action words. And these words reveal an attitude that demands immediate attention when preaching the word. First word, just preach. When we preach, we deliver the word of God. We tell the message of salvation from the pages of inspiration. The word preached is from, must be the message from the Bible. So when we preach, we deliver, we tell, we inform, we reveal the biblical message. Preaching must be done with a ready or an instant attitude. In other words, be ready, Paul tells Timothy. Be alert to your duty. Put these in your notes. Be ready to perform it. Get ready. Preach the word. He mentions the phrases in season, out of season. So the idea that we need to preach the message home on all occasions. You know, when it's time. And even when it's not time, like an appointed time, like we have in our worship assembly. May not be a convenient time for the hearers, but the word must be preached and needs to be delivered. It says convince. And I like this definition so well, I put the whole phrase in your notes. Preaching needs to convince or reprove. It means to place the truth of God's word in such a clear light. In other words, to preach in a way that the word of God is understood. You grasp the meaning and the message. Preach it in such a clear light that it must be seen and acknowledged as truth. So that if you reject it, you do so with your eyes open and at your own peril or demise. That's the task. I need to present God's word so that you acknowledge it as truth, preach it in such a clear light. And if you reject it, you do so with your eyes open and to your own destruction. Rebuke. Saw a bumper sticker. Well, years ago I saw a bumper sticker and thought it was kind of popular at the time on several cars I would see. It would have a three-word phrase. At the top it would say, God said it. And then the second phrase, I believe it. Number three, that settles it. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's wrong. Should read, God said it. Number two, that settles it. The third phrase is whether you believe it or not. See the difference? Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Well, it matters. But God said it, that settles it. Our obligation is to believe it. And I'm required to preach it in such a way that it's convincing, that it's God's word. And if you reject it, you do so with your eyes open to your own demise. To rebuke, speak seriously. To warn in order to prevent an action or to bring a wrong action to an end. In preaching, the part of the message is to rebuke, to admonish. To point out the dangers of wrong actions. Don't be careful. Don't do that. The idea is watch where you're walking. Part of the sermon in preaching the word is kind of a shout out. Look out. And then exhort, kind of the opposite side. If you're going to exhort someone, one definition was that it means to call to one, call another to one side to give comfort. So in preaching, I'm to call the assembly to my side to give you comfort. It means to build up. And I preach. appreciated this definition: using words that never drive another to despair or take the heart and hope from them. So even in a rebuke or an admonition or preaching or convincing or reproving, there needs to be that element that Paul speaks of in Ephesians 4, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, but in such a way that it doesn't drive you to despair or take the heart and hope from it. And all of these are to be done with long suffering and teaching. I'm not the least patient with you. No matter how you respond, I'm not to lose patience when I'm preaching the word. It means to forbear, to keep giving the instruction, to keep giving the information. That's the command. Paul gives a contrast in this text, and this will happen. That's what Paul is warning Timothy about. This situation will exist. In verse 3, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they, they'll not endure sound doctrine. That's not a compliment. That's not an attaboy. He's not giving these people applause. Paul is not saying, whoa, well done, you haven't endured sound doctrine. Paul does not say, well done, you're doing it your own way. Paul is not giving them a great job. He's not doing that, because they've left the faith. You haven't endured sound doctrine. They're not willingly listening to the word. They don't want to hear wholesome teaching, but according to their own desires. So Paul says, these are the people that they're going to find teachers who say what they like to hear. And they're out there. You just have to listen to some religious broadcasting. Even on Sunday morning, all these different religious groups. And they have the teachers. And these people, Paul says, oh, they're going to find teachers that scratch or tickle their ears with self-pleasing things. I like what he's saying over there. Ooh, that suits my fancy, and so that's where I'm going to go. Paul says, oh, Timothy, they've turned their ears away from the truth. Again, that's not okay. He's not giving them a compliment. They've turned aside the fables. Interesting, if it's not the truth of God's word, it's a fable. It's a fable. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. The truth of God's word. If someone's not preaching the truth of God's word, they're preaching a fable. I looked up the word fable. It's a story without foundation. Dictionary definition. A fable is a story without foundation. Paul says, when you leave the truth and go after something except as a story without foundation. Another definition was fiction, meaning not true. So these people heap to themselves teachers that are telling fables. So the contrast is, Timothy, that's them, they. But you, in verse 5, be watchful in all things. Watchful, not gullible. Don't quickly believe the claims of others without sufficient evidence. Be watchful, Timothy, not gullible. Don't be easily taken in. As Frederick said in his introduction, this message that Paul gives to Timothy is to us too. Don't be gullible. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, Paul earlier gave this a similar admonition to Timothy. 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. I urged you when I went into Macedonia that I want you to remain at Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Teach the brethren there that they don't teach any other doctrine. Don't be gullible. give heed to fables. Same words, doctrine and fables in the same thing. Jesus said it in Mark 4, verse 24. Take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. Jesus said it again in Mark 13, verse 5. Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am he, and will deceive you. So Paul said, Timothy, be watchful. Don't be gullible. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Preach the word. The warning of this text needs to be given over and over for you and for me. It's part of our admonition, part of our encouragement and warning. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. Maybe one here this morning, not a member of the New Testament Church. You've heard the good news, the gospel message, that God, John 3:16, that God so loved the world, he gave a son. You've heard that message. Now, second, you need to believe it. How can you believe in something you haven't heard? So you need to believe it. Jesus said it himself, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins, in John chapter 8, verse 24. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to believe him. If you come to God, you must believe. Believe. Jesus added another item in becoming a Christian in Luke 13, verse 3. Except you repent, you'll perish. So repentance is a matter of salvation. Then you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus is God's Son. Like the Ethiopian did to Philip when he preached unto him Jesus. But the Ethiopian stops Philip in the middle of his lesson and says, here's water, anything stopping me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. And the Ethiopian made a confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip said, stop the chariot. Stop the chariot. They both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. They both came up out of the water. The Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. So that's the invitation we always extend at the close of a lesson. Simple plan or steps or formula, ingredients. If you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement, we can accomplish that this morning. So we sing this song of invitation or encouragement. And just simply respond by coming and having a seat beside me. At the end of the song, I just simply ask you a question. What's on your mind? And the answer would be, Brian, I want to be baptized. Or Brian, I want brethren to pray for my strength or encouragement or forgiveness, whatever it is. So let's stand together and sing the song that gets us to